Hi, I'm Jason Wahlstrom. I do a podcast called Entertainment Landfill. It used to be called Nowhere in Mulberry, but now it's just Entertainment Landfill. I do Entertainment Landfill with my two best friends, Bill and Steven. We've been doing the show since 2005. On the show, we talk about film, television, video games, and pop culture. Right now, we're doing the show monthly, but we really want to do it weekly, and I want to do the show full time. You can make that happen by becoming a patron of Entertainment Landfill using Patreon. It's a lot like Kickstarter, only it's not a campaign for one big project. It's for artists that put out a continuous stream of projects. Projects like Entertainment Landfill. It's kind of like PBS, how they ask their viewers to pledge funding for their shows. You're pledging to Entertainment Landfill. Here's how you do it. You go to patreon.com/landfill. Pledge the amount that you'd be comfortable contributing, $1, $2, or more. Then check out the cool rewards you get for becoming a patron. Doing this will ensure that Entertainment Landfill continues. Think about it. For the low amount of $1 or $2 a month, it's the price of a cup of coffee, a Shasta, a hamburger, a breakfast burrito, a Tootsie Pop. You could help the show bring you more than 12 hours of entertainment. 12 hours a month. We want to do the show every Friday, and we want to bring you more film, television, video game, and pop culture talk. Also, please know that the show is still free, and it always will be. This is your way of supporting the show and ensuring that we'll be around for a long time to come. There are a number of costs that go into creating the podcast, hosting fees, and my own personal time. Producing the show takes many hours. Your monthly contribution will afford me the extra time I need to help make the show great and release it on a regular basis. Become a patron. Visit patreon.com/landfill. Support Entertainment Landfill. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
I'm making my lunch! So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Lunchtime Show! Woo! Hey, everyone! Welcome to the show! Good times and great wine! It is time for the Lunchtime Show! Another Lunchtime Show! Woo!
Woo!
It is June 5th, 2014, and we're here in the, the Mulberry Food Court once again, Bill.
Yes.
How's it going? Oh, should I say Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian? How you doing, Bill?
It's lunch. You know, we're informal.
Yes, it's very nice lunch. And I don't know why, but I brought my dog, my beagle,
brought mine
to lunch
too.
With me.
I brought mine, too. Mine's staring right at me. He's under the table.
It's a bring your dog to the food court day.
Yeah, they don't mind him. Yeah. In fact, the Chinese food, they keep looking at him really strangely. Stop looking at my dog!
I was like, oh, we're really low right now. could I borrow your dog? No, you can't borrow him. You'll never give him back.
We love hound mixes and beagles.
Well, Bill, we're doing a lunchtime show because we can't do a regular show this week.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I just figured that we should do something since I'm headed out of town tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's always fun to do a show. And, you know, you missed the last regular Entertainment Landfill, so it's good to be able to get together with you.
I was elbow deep in cookies, and then I was blessed with the passing of life.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
From a dog. Yeah, you know, it's been a week. It was tough. I mean, he wasn't my dog. He felt like my dog. You know, I'd taken care of him for nearly 5 years. He was my sister's dog, and I think it tore her up more that she couldn't be there when he passed.
Right.
It was very difficult. I think it was worse on my mom, because my mom had never seen anything like that before. And I had no recourse but to call her, because I'd taken him out that night to go to the bathroom because he was just kind of pacing around, and he collapsed on the driveway.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, I didn't have pants on. It was midnight. I was just letting them out to go to the bathroom. And he collapses on the driveway, and I'm laying there next to him in my underwear and a t-shirt going, "It's okay, Marv, you know, if it's time to go, go. It's all right." And he just was laying there breathing really heavy, and I had to call my mom. I was like, "Mom, you got to get over here. Dog's in the driveway. I don't have pants on. I can't leave him alone." So she came over and rescued me, and I got ready, and we took him to the vet at about 1 a.m., and he passed around 1:30 a.m. But, I went through it with Eddie a couple years prior.
Right.
So I knew what to expect. Very humane. Put him, you know, they go to sleep. And
that
then
almost
they,
seems not that long ago.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago, but I think it's about 2 years.
Wow.
They put him to sleep, and then they give him this large pink injection of, I think, potassium chloride, and then they're just gone. It was, you know, everything stops, and then they cease to have any life in their eyes. And, I mean, not to sound morbid, but, you know, it's the best thing for him, because he had been struggling for so long. Right. I honestly did not expect him to last the summer. He had laryngeal paralysis, and that's really rough on a dog. Basically, anytime you swallow, you know how it like closes that area there? Well, his was paralyzed. So
wow.
when he breathed, it was just like this flapping skin. It was really difficult to breathe, so he would like stress. And eventually that puts so much stress on the heart, leads to, you know, respiratory distress, and then it just happened. I expected to have more time, I expected to have a warning, but it just happened.
Wow, just like that.
Because honestly, my sister was going to come down this summer, and we were going to put him down because we knew he was having a very rough time, and the plan was sometime next month, but it just happened. You know, and it just happened to be while I was in the middle of making like 7 dozen cookies for my sister's best friend's baby shower.
Yeah, I saw that. Your pea pod cookies.
Yes, my pea pod cookies. They turned out great. I had a couple indirect marriage proposals. I thought it was hilarious. My mom's so politically incorrect. I mean, she means well. But they're asking about me, like, "Well, your brother made these? Your son made these?" And and my mom's like, "Yeah, he doesn't have a limp wrist, but he just does well at anything he tries."
He doesn't have a limp wrist.
Yeah, I was like, "Mom, why would you even articulate that?" What does, you know, it? She, I love her, but God damn, she's part of that generation where shit just comes out of their mouths.
Oh, yeah, my dad always says something just wrong, and
yeah,
in public.
Just, yeah, and it's like, I have gay friends, and I took her to meet them one time. They have a goat farm. They're wonderful guys. If you need soaps, Tilton Hollow Farms, look it up. They make that's the only soap I use. Absolutely love them.
I always see you posting something about or sharing something.
Yeah, I love those guys. Chad and Jeff, two of the best guys in the world.
And so they have limp wrists.
Yeah, and I took her over there, and I was like, "Mom, please, just think before you speak." You know, I knew they would just laugh it off.
Right.
You know, they're just really good guys, and it doesn't even faze them. But I was just so, scared shitless. And I was talking to another of my farmer friends, and she's like, don't worry about it. Don't, you know, and it's like, I can't help it. But that's the sort of shit my mom does.
You know, it's my dad and even Heather's dad, they talk, they don't realize how loud they talk
in
public places.
Yeah.
And they don't know the meaning of the word whisper or keep your voice down. It's just everything is out loud, and anything that comes to their mind, they can say, and you're just sitting there like, oh, God.
Yeah, my dad's 64. He worked in a factory setting for probably 25 years of his 35-year career with a company, and he worked next to this thing called the corrugator. It basically is what makes sheets of corrugated. Most people call it cardboard.
Right.
But, you know, it like has those little flutes in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, yeah, I mean, that's what, that's, he stood next to one of those with his left ear next to it for, you know, 10 hours a day. So he's 100% deaf in his left ear.
Oh.
And anytime we go anywhere, he says stuff way too loud. My dad is basically a hermit. You know, he doesn't get out much because it's difficult for him. He's, you know, he's an incomplete paraplegic. It's just, it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
So when we do go out, I'm always prepared. And we, I don't know where the hell we were. Probably at a doctor's office, honestly. And a very attractive girl walks by.
Oh,
and
no.
She's not even 10 feet from him. And he goes, look at the ass on that girl.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, and she looked back at me, and I just shrugged, and I said, she was like red-faced.
You just give a thumbs up.
Yeah, I honestly gave her a thumbs up, and I said, hey, I can't help it. That's all I could say. And she smiled, and that was that. But it's just anytime I'm out with my dad, it's
a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, it is a compliment. You know? She was very attractive. I got to give him that.
He knows his asses.
He knows his asses. I, you know, I'm the son of the original historian of ass, I guess.
Oh, goodness.
That runs in the family. I mean, granted, I'm a little more subtle. You know, I grew up with a single mom and three sisters in the house. I know how to
I'm a historian of ass.
It's crazy. I don't know where my dad came from. Under a rock? He's Cro-Magnon? I don't know.
Hey, Bill, I wanted to talk to you about something.
Yes.
Let's talk about Patreon real quick.
Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon is basically a new kind of thing, a lot like Kickstarter. And we're launching a campaign for Entertainment Landfill where our listeners can become a patron of the show.
A patron of the arts.
Yes, patron of the arts. I mean, yes, okay, just for the sake of it, let's describe our show as the arts, air quotes, right?
We're arty, farty, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, and so if everyone goes to patreon.com/landfill, they could see our whole pitch there. And basically, what we're doing is basically what you would do is you go there, give $1, $2, however much you're comfortable with, and help us reach our goals. And then we can expand the show. Right now, we're doing Entertainment Landfill, say, once a month, right? Lucky if we're twice a month. But what we want to...
We're stepping it up.
Well, what we want to do, Bill, is go back to weekly. And the people, our listeners can make that happen.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, when you create a podcast, a show like this, it takes a lot of hours to do. I mean, I love doing it, but it takes a lot of hours to do, and free time is less and less. You could afford me more time to work on the show and do it weekly. And I want this to be a full-time job, Bill, for you and I, and people could help us do that. If you're listening right now and you love our show and you download it all the time and you like listen to us blather on about Star Wars or films or TV and stuff like that, check out patreon.com/landfill and you can become a patron of the show. And also, Bill, if you scroll down, you can see what you pledge at the bottom and what you get. We have different rewards. And some of those rewards, I know they're the higher level ones, but they're pretty good. But most of all, you get our appreciation, and you give me more time to give you an incredible product. I'm going to go ahead and oversell it, Bill. A fantastic show for them to listen to.
It gives us the opportunity to commit more time to it.
Exactly.
You know, it becomes a full-time thing. This will become our life's work.
And I want to be honest with you. This happens to be what I'm good at. You know, doing the show. I was thinking about this. Doing the show, I don't think about anything else. I'm like in this happy zone because I'm just thinking about doing the show, talking to you, and all that. And it's nice to tune out the rest of the world's worries and responsibilities and all that stuff. And we can just concentrate on doing the best show we can, you know?
Yeah.
And so basically, for a dollar, what can a dollar buy, Bill?
$2. I would say a dollar would put them on the Wall of Heroes.
Yes. I mean, think of it this way. What do you spend a dollar on every month? Just a dollar a month, $2 a month. Say $2 a month?
That's not even an eighth of a gallon of gas.
Yeah, it's nothing. And what does it get you from us? 12 hours of entertainment. 12 hours! That's half a day, man.
12 hours of entertainment and probably closer to 24 hours of work.
Yeah! I mean, we're just cranking out the entertainment, so if you'd like to become a patron of the show, just check it out, check out the website, and we'd appreciate it a lot. Now,
yeah,
Bill,
I'm actually looking at it right now. It's up for anybody that wants to go to it.
Okay, Bill, I want to talk to you about a few things. Since
All right.
we have this hour, we can talk about anything. I've noticed, I mean, you and I, we hate a lot of movie news, right?
I would go to I detest it.
Right, right.
Like, it irritates me, honestly.
Sometimes I wonder if we embraced it and we covered that news, like, all the time, would it just date our show where no one would want to re-listen to it? Or would it be like, oh, I'm going to listen to hear what these guys have to say about this?
I don't know if it would date it as much as just exhaust anyone that's listening to it. I mean, if you want this news, it's out there. So
right,
that's
right.
Why I'm shocked by the amount of blogs online that just repost the
yes.
same thing over and over
Maybe
again.
Maybe we could do... Our spin would be we just complain about the news.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to handle it.
Well, I was looking at this one story, and it just annoyed me.
Okay.
Because it's a non-story. Now, listen to this headline. Okay, here's an example of I hate the internet, okay? That's the segment. I hate the internet, okay? Here's the first story. Listen to this, Bill. Bryan Cranston hints Breaking Bad may not be over. What? Oh my God, I'm going to click on that, Bill, aren't you?
Because I know for a fact that is a misleading headline.
Oh, okay.
But
now,
it's only because we're so jaded when it comes to it. Anyone
right.
else, an everyday Joe would go, really?
Yeah, and this is on CNN, Bill. This is what website.
Okay, CNN. They gave up covering the Malaysian airline crash.
Okay, listen to this. The series star, Bryan Cranston, seemed to drop a major hint in an interview with CNN's Ashley Banfield. Asked by Banfield if his character, Walter White, died or not, Cranston said, hey, you never saw the bag zip up or anything. Or, you know, he left the rest up to viewers' imaginations. In response to questions about whether the character could show up in a movie or anywhere else, Cranston said, never say never. And they actually write, whoa, whoa. He may have been teasing. Yes, that's exactly what he was doing. Stop
yes.
the story right there. But no, it keeps going, Bill. But that remark revives hopes for countless fans who are still mourning the loss of the character in acclaimed series. Oh, shut up! What a waste of time!
Yeah, mean shit has to go on and on and on and exhaust itself to the point where no
yeah.
one's interested
and
it gets canceled?
And then, you know, they get into... By the way, Cranston stars in the recent Godzilla. The TV show wrapped up several months ago, and now they can look forward to Better Call Saul, blah, blah. And they just keep going with the stupid story. And just like, oh, God, turn it all off.
I pity the person that got journalism degree and is now writing that shit for CNN.
Oh, I know. And there was another, I think it was Huffington Post, they did Vince Gilligan worried about regretting new series spinoff about Better Call Saul. And he jokingly says, yeah, you know, it could be a nightmare. It could be something like a spinoff from MASH or something where they should have just ended it. And he just kind of shrugs it off joking like that. But instead, they turn it into a news story. Uh-oh, he's regretting this. And you click on it, and then you realize it's all horseshit.
Yeah, he's basically making a statement like, hey, you never know until it gets deep. But he obviously has a story to tell. Isn't it a prequel or of some sort?
Yeah, it's like, this could have been a huge mistake. You'll just have to wait and see. But they're like, oh, could it be a big mistake, you guys?
Yeah,
oh
you know, I think creators have to temper themselves, but sometimes they can't resist just making that statement because they know where it's going to be taken. It's almost kind of like TV writers who try to come up with the most ridiculous technical jargon to try to outdo one another. Because I know there was a thing, we might have even talked about it on a past show, where I think it was like the writers for NCIS or something have a competition to see who can come up with the most ridiculous set of technical jargon on the show.
Right.
And it's just, it's one of those things where they just love to read into it.
Right. Do you think there's someone who's like coming up with how to get someone to just click on this story and it contains no information at all?
Absolutely. It's headline. What would you call it? Headline grabbing 101.
Oh, yeah. Here's a new one that just hit recently, maybe an hour ago.
Okay.
It hit the internet's bill. Matthew McConaughey is open to more True Detective. And the headline
that means they're going to do another one with him.
Yeah, the headline says, all right, all right, all right. Ugh. Matthew McConaughey has gone on record saying that one season of One season of True Detective was enough for him. But according to E!, now it seems he just can't shake the rust off. Get it? That was the name of his character.
Rust Cole.
In a recent interview with Deadline, I like True Detective, the whole series and the experience of making it, so much that I'd be open to doing another one right now. And now we're just like, oh my god. It was reported that season 2 would have 3 new leads, but the possibility of Russ coming back in some capacity is almost enough to make us lose our minds. So basically, he said, yeah, I would be willing to come back and do some more True Detective. So everyone's like, holy shit, put the story out there. Just shit like that. And I know that's what websites are for. They're trying to get you to read stories, right?
Yeah, but it's still... It's saying nothing.
Yes.
They asked him a question. He gave an answer where he said he enjoyed making it so much that he would be open to doing another or expanding his role in that world. But it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. You don't have to report on it like it's going to or speculate. That just... It's exhausting.
And so like, now someone's going to read that and go, oh man, did you hear what happened? Matthew McConaughey's coming back for season 2. Oh, really? Yeah. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's saying he'd be willing to. He's doing other... He just won a friggin' Academy Award. He's not going to do a TV show.
Didn't they kind of... You know, I'm sure a lot of people haven't watched True Detective, and I'm not even finished with it entirely, but I would have to assume that that's a pretty self-contained story.
Oh, very much so. It's over.
So how...
He would literally, if he came back, he would not be the same character. It'd be like that show on FX, the what is it called? The horror show? I forget what it's called. You know, American Horror Story. It'd be like that where he'd play a completely different character or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... And this is every day. I mean, it's you're gonna have it every day on a million different blogs,
yeah,
it's always like the same story over and over.
And the worst part is I'm like, ugh, I just roll my eyes, and I don't even click on the story. I know it's bullshit. And then I go to another website, and it has the same story.
I wait for you to get so annoyed that you end up posting them, and I just giggle. Because I don't read any of the sites anymore. I can't stand it.
Oh, there used to be times where I would like list like every single website. It's usually when a screenshot of a movie comes out, like Remember the whole, hey, here's the lineup of Guardians of Galaxy, their mugshots or whatever, and it was on every website you went to.
I got annoyed, I think it was 2 days ago on Facebook. I bring it up, and it's every other story from the different blogs that I follow, and it's pictures of an eighth, the bottom of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And it's just, hey, the Millennium Falcon's in Star Wars 7. And it's just over and over and over
Here's
and over
Here's what I
again.
Have to say about that. Duh.
Yeah.
Why and wouldn't it be?
I unfollowed. Like, I'm pressing on the little arrow next to him. Don't want to see this. Unlike. Don't want to see this. Unlike.
Would you have minded if they said, here's a link to look at the pictures?
Or something that said more leaked pictures from TMZ, and I still wouldn't have clicked on it because it's TMZ.
Were they showing you the picture where you, oh man, I didn't want to see that?
Yes, I was. But JJ had the perfect answer to that, and it was on the Bad Robot, the official Bad Robot site, where it was just a written letter, and it said, you know, please stop posting blah, 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 blah. Of pictures of the Millennium Falcon and then signed JJ. And you could see, any Star Wars fan could see that it was taped to the what did they call it? The Jarrick table? The game that Chewbacca and R2 play?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that's called. Chess? Space chess?
Yeah, space chess. Yeah, I think it's called the Jarrick. I might be pronouncing it wrong, but I'm almost positive it is. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, see, that's how you do it. That's how you kind of show something without showing something.
Right.
But people are, this culture that we're surrounded by, just, it just has to throw everything in your face.
And what I'm thinking, when, it was 1999 when the Phantom Menace came out. None of us did. None of us were on Twitter, and none of us had Facebook. But now you're just bombarded by everyone sharing the same thing, where it becomes like, all right, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's too much.
Because everyone thinks they're seeing it for the first time and sharing it with you, when in reality, everyone else has already seen it.
Yeah, and I find myself questioning anything I post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, like, people have already seen this. Like, if I don't have something to say or a joke to add to it or something that is original, I'm not going to just repost it. Because that's essentially what they want, is to just post the shit over and over and over
again. Every once in a while, you'll post something and you see that several people shared it, and you're like, oh, well, hey, I finally hit something that someone wanted to see.
Yeah, every once in a while that happens.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. It's just whenever it's the internet blogs just reposting, it's too much.
Bill, I actually have some breaking movie news.
You do?
Yes. This is from moviephone.com. You want to hear it?
Welcome to Movie Phone.
Just pretend like you want to hear this, okay?
Yes, I want to hear it.
We were really looking forward to the Wachowskis' latest mind-bending saga, Jupiter Ascending, which was due to descend into theaters on July 18th. Unfortunately, Jupiter is spinning into next February, and the rumor is that the special effects just aren't very special yet. Jen Yamato reports, I hear the Wachowskis needed more time to complete the visual effects work.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
And the fact that it's jumping from July, the thing that I know, there's going to be a million stories about it. February is like dumping ground for movies. That's where bad movies go to die.
We thought it would be another Matrix, but it looks like it's another Speed Racer. No, it doesn't say that, read it.
No, that's honestly what I would expect him to say. But we're talking July. We're talking a sci-fi movie, a big-budget action sci-fi movie. If they need more time to polish it, great. But, I mean, in the middle of July, you're going to have some pretty big movies to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so give them time.
And I love the bottom of the story says, the Wachowskis directed the Matrix trilogy. It's like, we know! Shut up!
Thank you. Yes, wonderful. You
know, oh, is that who they are?
I had no idea.
Oh.
And I still love Speed Racer.
So do I.
I love that movie.
It's a good flick, man.
it's fun.
No,
in fact, I'm going back home to spend some time with my niece while my sisters go to a Ray LaMontagne concert.
A who?
Ray LaMontagne. There's a commercial that uses his song at Trouble. It just he's basically light FM for indie fans. Okay. My oldest sister loves him. I'm not the biggest fan, but that's where they're going. But I digress. I'm going to take Speed Racer with me and watch it with her. I bet you she loves it.
Cool. I love it. Now, Bill, did you see that story I sent to you? It was while you were gone. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
And let me open it. I'm opening it right now. Opening it.
I was just like, oh, finally.
Wow. Hey. Okay. All right. I see it. Do you want to say it or should I?
I want you to say it.
Big Brother, new season will finally be in HD.
Holy shit. Finally?
I wonder how much they had to shell out to replace. I bet you it's all GoPros.
I know. You know what? It's funny. Like, every new season, it's like, how is the show not HD yet?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, they have... in Canada, they have Big Brother, and it's all HD widescreen cameras. And they're like, dude, Canada has a better production than you.
Yeah, it does. And now we can finally watch it for 2 weeks' time before we tire of it in HD.
Yeah. Hey, people, we go back to doing a weekly show. We're covering Big Brother every week.
I will make myself watch it.
Right. You know what?
The last time I was interested was whenever they had the fun people like Howie and Janelle and those guys. I haven't really gotten that into it since then.
Oh,
because
yeah,
they
me
keep
neither.
Bringing boring people on.
You know, one of my favorite rewards on our Patreon, Bill, is that we cover any show someone suggests for a whole season.
I like that because then we're invested in it. We're getting paid to do it. It makes the torture a little less extreme.
Someone could say, you guys never cover Survivor. Could you please cover the entire season? And we would do it.
I'd do it, yeah. If I had incentive to watch something I hate, I'd watch it.
You guys never watch...
Don't expect me to like it.
You never watch Honey Boo Boo. I'd love for you guys to talk about every episode. Okay.
I might not be able to tolerate that, especially if they make Sketty.
We'd get some funny... Oh, my God. We get some funny drops out of it, but oh man, the Sketty one. Do you remember that? We never watched the show, but there was a clip online of how they made Sketty,
oh,
and it was
God.
Ketchup and a stick of butter, and you stick it in the microwave, and that's your spaghetti sauce, Bill.
Oh my God, my stomach hurts even just thinking about it.
That's gonna be some delicious Sketty sauce. Yeah, and I don't even think they call it spaghetti, it's Sketty.
Paschetti. Yes. No, it's S-K-E-T-T-I, Sketty.
Let's eat us some Paschetti.
Paschetti.
Now, Bill, can you believe this? I almost forgot because my daughter, this was her last day of school, and they had the parties, and then the awards.
Woo-hoo!
And
I missed the last day of school, man. Last day of school was awesome.
Oh, it was cool. They got one of those Kona ice trucks with the snow cones.
Except I have to add an addendum to that. When I went to the private Christian school that was in the basement of a church, we didn't get to party or have any fun. We got to clean it.
Ooh.
We were literally made to take everything out of the school, wash the walls, do the carpets, clean the lockers, and then carry everything back in.
Yikes.
The chairs. It was child labor.
You know what was cool?
We paid them to go to their school, and they made us clean it.
What was cool in Emma's school is they had, each classroom, they had different stuff. One room, they had a Wii. Another one, they had a karaoke machine.
That's awesome.
Another one was the arts and crafts room. We were in the karaoke room, and I was like, Emma, can we leave? This is excruciating.
Oh, the kids, yeah.
Yeah, playing some songs.
You have to be drunk for karaoke.
Yeah. And little kids singing off-key to songs. You can only take so much of that.
Yeah, that's excruciating.
But I almost forgot, Bill, that Orange is the New Black is back on Netflix Season 2 starting at midnight tonight.
Yeah, I saw that while I was standing in line at Charlie's Steakery picking up something for my dad for lunch.
Mm.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, all right, awesome. I'm going to have to pack my iPad with me and watch it.
You know, I couldn't get, you know, I watched, I binge-watched Orange is the New Black. My wife has never seen an episode, and I just want to just dive into that season. But
oh my God, I loved that. That first season was awesome.
It was the kind of thing, I'm so glad I watched it fairly recently, maybe like 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what sucks, is that it's, if you binge-watch it and watch them all, it's like, okay, that's it for the year. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. What does it have? 2 episodes left and done for the year. It's gone.
Yeah, my dad the other day was asking me how many are left. And I said 2. And he said, and then how long do we have to wait? And I said, well, it'll probably be this time next year. He's like, a year? Because he binged he binged it twice. What was it? 3? Is it 3 or 2 seasons so far?
Of Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
This is season 4.
Okay, so he binged 3 seasons twice in a month on HBO Go. Because once I showed him HBO Go, he's like, it's a world of possibilities.
It's like Netflix.
Yeah, he loves, that's his thing now, is HBO Go. Because they get the better movies than Netflix. And they get, Netflix basically sucks now. And I've discovered a new thing. I recently have been binging on Bob's Burgers, one of the greatest animation shows ever. I would have to say Rick and Morty is number 2 for me, but Bob's Burgers, just the idea of Bob being this guy that is, he aspires to greatness. You know, he wants this great burger place. He wants so much for himself, and yet he's got these 3 shit-ass kids and this pushover wife. And it's just, it's hilarious. It's one of the greatest shows.
That's a ringing endorsement, because I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rick and Morty is more surreal and kind of ridiculously vulgar.
Yeah.
Whereas, because Bob's Burgers is a primetime Fox show, the references are very, very subtle. Or, you know, they could go over people's heads if you're not sure what they are. Like, there was an episode where a girl got addicted to coffee, and one of the daughters gets addicted to espresso because there's an espresso machine. And the mom is trying to pawn, at the same time trying to pawn these porcelain babies for money to get the son to go to a baseball camp. So she's got the girl has these babies in her head, and she's going through withdrawal. Because they got rid of the espresso machine, and when she goes into withdrawal, she sees one of the babies crawling on the ceiling, and its head turns around and falls on her, and it's Train Spotting. It's the exact...
Wow.
And I just bust out laughing, because there's all these little references spread throughout the show of movies we know, or music we know.
That's
and it,
awesome.
Like, there was one last night where it was like, oh, he gave us our magic. He gave us his magic and just went away like Toad the Wet Sprocket. And it was like, you know, just another 90s alternative reference. And it was just,
I know
there's all these funny little moments.
It's a primetime show, so can Emma watch it?
Absolutely. And
because
she would love the characters, because she's right in that age where one of them is like, I think like 10, and she's going through that moment where like, she's mischievous, but she's starting to kind of discover boys.
Right, because I know, like, Rick and Morty, Emma could never watch that.
No, this is, like, Fox at 8:30. She could watch this, and stuff would go right over her head.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and there's, like, this young girl named Louise that wears, like, rabbit ears all the time, and there's an episode where one of the school bullies steal her rabbit ears, and the whole episode is Louise plotting to get the rabbit ears back. And there was a funny episode where they did a Goonies spoof where there's a taffy factory being knocked down and there's a rumor that there's like a treasure underneath it. And they're looking at this treasure map and it's shaped like a butt. And they have to go in through the pipe that is in the butt. And it's the whole thing is just them trying to find this treasure, and they basically get caught, and the parents have to rescue them. And the ending song is sung by Cyndi Lauper, and it's called Taffy Butt. And it's sung to the tune of Goonies Are Good Enough.
That's awesome.
It's a hilarious show. It's really, really funny, and it's heartfelt. It comes from an honest place.
Cool. I'm definitely going to check that out.
You should. I just binged 3 seasons of it. It's in its 4th season now.
Holy shit.
Almost over.
Are 3 seasons on Netflix?
Yeah, all 3 seasons.
Wow. I figured there was like 1 season of it or something.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me a lot of? Ed. Because it's this central kitchen location, and you've got the dad who gets exasperated with all these crazy characters in town. Like, the one guy that always shows up named Teddy, that's like the local carpenter, and he reminds me a lot of Kenny from Ed. And then there's the guy that has a business directly next to them named Mort, who has this really awful toupee, and he just happens to be an undertaker. So that it's a burger place directly next to a morgue. And there's an episode where there's a rumor that the burgers are made from human flesh, and the guy accidentally leaves a body outside in front of the burger place during this, and it's just chaos ensues. It's a ridiculous show.
That sounds awesome.
It's hilarious.
Okay. Hey, Bill, I know this show is ridiculous, okay? Let's talk about, just for a second, have you watched the most recent 24?
I did. I watched it this morning.
Did you see that torture scene?
I did see the torture scene. That was awful.
Of Yvonne Strahovski. Her arms. What the hell was that? That was just sadistic.
I don't know how, in the area of realism, I'm watching it and I'm going, how have those arms not popped out of their sockets yet?
I want to know how they filmed that without her hurting her arms.
I bet you they had a hidden harness that they then
would have
CGI'd out the wire.
Because that was just kind of, that was sadistic, and then like cutting her on the leg, and then
and also the guy, always when you have an attractive woman like that, the guy, the first threat he makes is rape. And I was like, oh, man, don't do that. Not with the pretty girl. Please,
right.
Don't. Yeah, it's just that's kind of the go-to villainous activity.
You know my favorite part in there where I just kind of laughed? And it only happens for a moment, but you know how Stephen Fry is on the show?
And I hope he's getting paid good money.
He's barely in the show, but he's... He's the prime minister, right?
Yes.
And William Devane keeps telling him, oh, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. But let's just check this. I made this clip. It's just really fast of his assistant telling him the truth about the president. And it just cracked me up. Check this out.
Sir, I've been loath to bring this to your attention. We have intelligence, unverified. But hell is being secretly treated by neurologists. Possibly for Alzheimer's.
Come on, bastards. Do you mean I'm counting on a man to protect our soil who hasn't got his wits about him? God help us.
And just like that, he's like, he doesn't have his wits about him. Hey, he could... Okay, if you have Alzheimer's, it doesn't mean you're insane or...
No.
But I love the way he described it as he doesn't have his wits about him.
You know what's hilarious? And then I think it's almost immediately after that scene, it's, well, he doesn't have his wits about him, so he must not know what he's doing. Let's keep on this guy that is now working for him and follow everything he does. And they're watching out of context. Yeah. And then they see Jack put Yvonne Strahovski in the... Yvonne Strahovski... In the trunk, and they're like, oh, shit, we better take over. He's betrayed them.
Right.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah, he's a known terrorist. He's putting him in the field.
Let's jump to conclusion.
Let's get MI5 on this stat.
Yeah, and he's like, should we call and, you know, say something? No, we'll deal with this on our own.
And
that's a really good idea.
I love the whole idea of a shootout happening, and Jack needs to get to that laptop to hit enter on it.
It was like the Amazing Spider-Man again. Yeah.
Gotta make sure the download's going through.
The plane is crashing. I need to... Oh, he closed it. I need to open it back up and hit enter.
That scene in Spider-Man is so ridiculous.
It was,
that
was more superfluous.
It was more ridiculous than anything in 24, and that's saying a lot.
Well, that also leading up to that scene was he's with the gun dealer, and the guy's doing the, I'm a crazy gun dealer. I'm Tuco. I'm a meth dealer. I'm gonna threaten you. And
what I like about it is Jack, you know, he's not afraid or anything. So the guy punches Jack and he's like, oh, no, please. No, let me explain. And you know that Jack, real Jack, would never do that because he's a badass. But he's pretending to be afraid for his life.
Yeah, this, I said it online, I love 24 for how stupid it is, but it's like because they didn't have 24 episodes to kind of spread the stupid, it's like super stupid.
Yeah,
now they have 12 hours to squeeze all the stupid in.
I love it, and I love the stuff with the evil mom, you know, Catelyn Stark from Game of Thrones. She's just so evil. I love her daughter has gone to see her sister-in-law, who has a daughter, also a little girl, and her mom's like, we can't take any chances. Take them both out.
She made a speedy recovery, man.
Oh, I know.
Last week, she's on death's bed, pale, sweating. The fever must have broke from that finger infection, because this week, now she's getting stabby.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, when she gets hit by the bus, I laughed out loud. I started laughing.
Oh, I saw it coming. The moment the girl took off, I was like, oh, she's going to get hit by something.
Whenever, how many, I wish I knew the first movie this was in, the, like a bus comes out of nowhere and hits you thing. It's happened in so many movies now.
I think the best one I ever saw was Meet Joe Black. Yeah.
Meet Joe Black, where he flops all over the car.
Yeah. I just bust out laughing. That was genius. it's like you know they're trying to entertain, but it's like 24 is so hard to suspend disbelief on, but it's required.
Well, they're definitely entertaining me, but yeah, it is. The show is just ridiculous. I honestly think all they need to do is have Jack kill at least 30 people per episode, and we're entertained.
Last week, I was blown away that they blew away that guy so violently. Like, they showed the bullet go in his head and out the back. Like, I was like, whoa, we're in Hannibal territory here with 24. Like, that was violent. I've never seen anything like that on TV.
Right.
Or at least, you know, not recently on network primetime television.
Yeah, totally. Now, did you watch MasterChef this week?
I did. Can I just bring something up? You know,
yeah.
Bravo on Graham Elliott Bowling to do the gastric sleeve, I believe he did.
Graham Elliott Bowles?
But he looks so strange.
Yeah,
there's certain guys that just, you look fat, and that's kind of their thing. That's his style. He was kind of a roly-poly, eccentrically dressed guy. And now he's got that big head, those awful glasses, and he still dresses like a moron.
I always wonder that, like, when people's trademark is something that looks stupid, like...
Yeah, and now he just looks more stupid because he's skinny and stupid.
Yeah, he's got those plastic man glasses he wears.
Yeah, and that's the skinny jeans, and you can see his socks. It's like everything is so orchestrated and vain that I find myself not concentrating on the food being made, but the guy standing in front of everyone.
Right. You know what? Remember last season of MasterChef? It was so catty. Everyone talked trash to each other. Remember that one lady was talked like this, and I hate her, and stuff like that.
Wasn't she like the blatantly racist one?
Yes, like she had tweeted something racist or something. But so this season has started, and everyone seems pretty cool. But then we had it beginning already, the beginning of it, where the guy who lives in Malibu got all defensive. He got all defensive when someone says something about him. Well, this girl, Courtney, wins the mystery box challenge.
Is that the stripper?
Yes.
The dancer?
The exotic dancer. Now, let me ask you this, Bill. Do they tell them, okay, when you go out there, I want you to talk shit to all your teammates?
Absolutely. They've got to rile them up. Well, they have to have something to get people locked into the show because they...
Right.
And I know you and Steven talked about this, but I just found it so jarring that they skipped the crazy American Idol audition thing.
I know. That was like their trademark, right, at the beginning
of
the season?
Well, and also, that's where they built personalities.
Yes.
Like, when you got to experience who this person was, and then as the show went on, if they made it, you could sympathize with them, and it built a connection.
Like,
and now it's just like, hey, here's a big fat black guy that cooks for everyone. Here's the exotic dancer.
Yeah, those two you just mentioned, they have made an impression because I guess they've shown a lot of
them. Because they're showing. Yeah, that's exactly it. The editing is so, I don't want to say it's poor, it's just a little too on the nose.
They pick who they want to feature.
Yeah, instead of letting people choose who they want to support, you know, giving everyone an equal chance, now it's just who they choose to highlight.
Well, you like that girl Courtney, she won the mystery box challenge, and they let her pick over three mixed meats. Dishes, hamburger, meatloaf, or meatball.
Okay.
And so she comes out and they say what she picked, and she doesn't have to cook, Bill. Like, she can go up to the balcony or whatever the hell it's called, to the mezzanine, and just watch them cook. But she can I think there's 20 contestants, so she can pick 10 people that don't have to cook. She could easily just pick random 10 people, but instead she acts like a shit about it, which I thought was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just play this clip right here so you get the idea what I'm talking about.
She's got that very snotty, nasal, kind of stuck-up quality to her voice.
Yeah, and she didn't have it until that moment, and I was just like, oh, well, she's one of these people.
Yes, we've discovered who they're going to make the villain out of the season with this episode.
For winning the first mystery box competition, Courtney got some huge advantages. The first advantage is that she does not have to cook tonight.
And for Courtney's second advantage, she got to decide what everybody else has to cook tonight.
Courtney now gets a third advantage, which she doesn't even know about yet. There are 20 fierce competitors out there. Only half of them will have to cook tonight.
Wow.
Oh. And guess who decides which 10 are safe? Courtney, it's time to tell us who you'd like to save from elimination. So, first pick?
I believe that later down in the competition, I can beat this person. And if I can't beat them, they'll do themselves in. I'm saving Leslie, Chef.
Leslie, head upstairs, please.
Thank you, Courtney.
Wow. I like you just as
the second person I'm going to save. I've seen what they can do, and it's not very impressive to me. That person is Jamie.
Jamie, wow.
I guess, thank you.
That was
like playing chess. She's a pawn. Boom, go away. I would like to save Gordon.
No, Gordon, let's go.
Elise. Cutter. Francis. Kira.
Interesting.
And I would like to save Aron.
Like, I should have really been the first person to be called because me and Courtney were the top two people in the bacon challenge.
I'd like to save this person because I think it would be in my best interest to be on their good side. Elizabeth.
Wow. You know, like they always say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So as far as Courtney knows, we're besties.
Whatever.
I mean, personally, 11 standing in front of us, clearly Courtney fears you the most. Go and join your friends, because I'm sure you're dying to give Courtney a big hug.
As I walk up to the balcony, I feel like a puppet master. I'm holding all of the other competitors in my hands, and I'm going to play them like chess pieces. Checkmate.
Wow. So
that wasn't subtle at all.
Do they tell her to act like a shithead, or is
they
that just the way
to.
She is?
They have to. Or maybe, you know, it's her own prerogative to kind of put on the Omarosa thing.
Yeah.
Or even the Richard, if you want to go back to the first, Richard Hatch. You know, you act like an asshole to show people that somehow it disturbs them. It puts them off their game.
She needs to go back and watch every season of MasterChef, because it's always the person who wins is the person who... I don't know how it's happened, but they're the most well-behaved person on the show.
We've talked about this before. This is a cooking competition. This is not Survivor. This is not a battle of wits.
I know. That's why I never understand that you don't have to cook. If you think you're the best cook, you should be like, I'll cook no matter what.
Yeah. Shut up and cook. Stop trying to play a game.
Yeah, like my
they shouldn't even encourage that with a show like this.
Mm-hmm. I think they think it entertains us, but it's more like we just roll our eyes.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it's lazy production.
Yeah, Emma absolutely loves MasterChef.
Yeah, you know what? I think that I would almost like to approach it with a sort of childlike innocence, because I think she loves it because it is. She doesn't have the cynicism that we've built up over the years.
Yeah.
So she can appreciate it more on a basic fundamental level.
Is it
whereas we're a little, you know, jaded.
I'm entertained when one of them spits the food out because it's so disgusting. Like Gordon
was
like,
what was it on this one? Mango?
Yeah, like, this is the most disgusting meatloaf I've ever eaten in my life.
It's like, mango in this meatloaf.
It's like, this guy has been to many bad restaurants on Kitchen Nightmares, so that's a bad endorsement, dude.
Yeah. He ate off scallops in the first episode.
He got immediate food poisoning before.
Yeah. Are you trying to kill me?
You're trying to kill me. You're an assassin.
That's my plan all along, Gordon.
You bastard.
That
Bill,
needs to happen now.
Have you got to play Wolfenstein yet?
No, it's sitting right here next to me, and I want to play it so bad because I keep hearing how good the story is.
Wolfenstein!
And this is a really... Wolfenstein. It's a really tough gaming period, because you've got Wolfenstein, and you have Watch Dogs came out.
Dude, I've read some very mixed reviews of Watch Dogs.
So, well, you know what? I expected that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
not a surprise.
How many open-world games can you have? And the story isn't what impressed people. The trailers, you know, aren't what impressed people. The graphics. Everybody was excited. Right. They were like, this is true next gen. And then it's supposed to come out, and then a new trailer comes out, and it's what happened to the E3 Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And, I'm not a big open world game guy. I get bored with open world games.
I love the concept, but I admit that I start to get bored after a while. The only game that held my interest, like beginning to end, and I ate it up with a spoon, was Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say it, because that game, I was invested in it.
That story, I was so into.
Yeah, I loved the story. That's the quintessential open world game.
And that's what I need. I need a storyline. If the storyline hooks me, I'm good.
Yeah, I want to be entertained.
I got to be honest, like that first Batman Arkham game, I loved it. I got into the story. That second one, dude, I didn't know where the hell to go.
It was too much. And it's funny that a lot of people consider Arkham City the best.
Yeah, I was like, where do I go? I was like getting so annoyed.
For me, it was shoving 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
Yeah, I don't want to collect freaking shit all over the city. Yeah,
I thought there was a moment on a podcast where somebody said, who was the guy that placed that? Like, that was the Riddler's job, to just place question marks everywhere. Yeah. Like, what a misuse of a character.
I'm going to stick this in this vent here. No one will yeah. find it.
Like, this is going to drive them crazy.
What is that one Xbox 360 game where you're the super cop and you get powers over time? It's an open world game, and you keep getting more and more abilities, and you can jump higher and higher.
Oh, Crackdown.
Crackdown. Now, that game, I loved collecting the stuff in that game.
Because you got more powerful as you went along. There was incentive to do it.
There was motivation. And Batman, I don't give a shit at all. You know
where Crackdown went wrong? Is where? I would collect all the shit first, become super powerful,
and then have
and
no
then
problem.
Breeze through the game.
Yeah, that is true.
I like lost it, it didn't hold, because by the time I was at the end of the game, I was totally maxed out and I could kick the shit out of anything.
I kind of like that for a while, because you're just having fun. Like, they're shooting at you, it doesn't really bother you that much.
You just laugh. You're like,
my favorite thing is a guy opening up with a machine gun, he's just unloading, and I walk up and go boom. And he flies like a city block away.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was, but that was fun multiplayer also. But whenever we did that, we were so overpowered that there wasn't a challenge.
You could just pick up buses and throw them and stuff. That was awesome.
Yeah, the only power that I never bothered upgrading was the driving. Because it was so difficult to do those races that it was just like, oh, screw this. I'm going to jump across buildings.
You know what I also really loved about that game? Its sense of humor. And
yeah, it was dark.
Do you remember that there's a guy narrating the game?
One of those deep voice Don LaFontaine types.
And at the very end, he reveals that he's evil to you. Do you remember that? And he's like, and you're like, oh my god, the whole guy talking to me the whole time is a bad guy. It's so funny the way they do that.
Yeah, that first Crackdown was really good. The second one, not so much. But
yeah, I never played the second one.
Yeah, the first one was great.
Yeah, and it had that kind of cell-shaded type of thing.
Yeah, it was interesting looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about open world games, you know, with the Watch Dogs, because people are like, why aren't you getting Watch Dogs? And I said, honestly, I played through Infamous Second Son, and that was another one of those games where, although they're smarter about doling out the powers.
Yeah.
Where you have to progress in the story until you move on. Like, you start out with the smoke and fire, and then you get neon, and then you get video, and then by the end of the game, you get this, like, boulder power, this, like, super powerful kind of throwing rocks and forming things and all that. But the way they made it is, I'm anal. I have to complete everything first before I continue the story. And by the time I got to the end of the story, I had completed everything, and I had a new power that I couldn't do anything with.
That's annoying.
So what they wanted you to do was play through the story and then leave all this stuff open, so that once you complete the story, then you can use these new powers to complete the rest of the map.
Yeah, I can see how that would become.
But the map was already complete for me. Mm-hmm. So there was no reason. And I also found out this week that if you go evil instead of good, you get to have a sex scene.
Nice.
So if you're
Wait
a bad
a second.
Guy,
what's
you
that
get
saying
sex.
About sex? Why is sex evil?
Yeah, what does that say about, you know, women on
sex is evil.
Yeah, you're not going to get the sex scene if you're a good guy. So again, that's just perpetuating the myth that good guys aren't good lays, I guess.
Yeah, good guys never get laid.
Yeah, and that was shocking to me. Like, well, now I almost feel like I have to play through the being bad.
That's what it is. That's the only reason they did it, Bill, so you would second play through.
That's the only reason I remember as a kid I wanted to play Golgo 13, because there was a sex scene
on
in silhouette
Was that on the first NES?
Yeah.
Oh, a silhouette. I love it.
Yeah. It's like a silhouette of like a hotel room.
I played all this for that? A black shape?
Yeah, but you're still you're like 12 years old sitting there going, I feel funny. I like it.
Golgo 13. That guy in his horrible like sideburns and...
Oh. That's like that was awesome. The extreme. Like the you have the Major Nelson where there's no sideburns.
Then there's the sideburns down to your jawline kind of.
Golgo 13 mutton chops with the short hair. That's like a reverse mullet.
Yeah, I love the way that guy looked. That was awesome.
It was pure Japanese 80s anime look.
It totally was. They ought to keep making Golgo 13 games. Why not
bring it back? I mean, why are they still throwing damn Metal Gear Solid games at us?
Yeah, forget about Hitman and like Assassin's Creed. We need Golgo 13.
Hitman for about 5 minutes.
Oh, and really?
Terrible games for me. I did not like it at all.
Bummer.
Well, did you ever play them, the Hitman games?
No, never.
I was never a big one into that.
And I've seen about 5 minutes of the Tim Oliphant movie.
Oh, that's... Holy shit, he did do that movie.
Yeah, Hitman, Tim Oliphant.
I thought they were supposed to make another one, like do a reboot on it. But
yeah, something
I haven't
else,
seen anything
like,
from it.
Somebody, let's cast somebody who's already bald. Oh, okay. How about Jean-Luc Picard? Nah.
Oh, old Hitman.
Yeah. Jason Statham, he's bald. Yeah, let's get him.
In everything.
That would be awesome. Well, Bill, that's about all the time we have. It's been about an hour. It's been fun to catch up with you.
Yeah, it has you. I'm sorry that I can't stick around this week and do a show Friday night.
That's all right. We're cranking stuff out. And you know what? I'm going to release that Lethal Weapon show. Hopefully people are digging that.
I had a blast with that show. I can't wait to listen back to it.
It's a lot of fun.
It kind of reminded me of the Goonies show in that we've seen it so many times. The revisiting it in kind of a critical manner
yeah.
kind of just blows the doors off of it. I still love it, but now I watch it like,
Yeah, that's one thing I want to stress is that we love Lethal Weapon, but we've seen it too many times.
Yeah, we have.
We've really seen it too many times, but I hope you guys enjoy that. And again, please go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/landfill. You can help us keep doing the show and... Bill, if we raise enough on there, I would love to expand to video. We're doing some video.
Yeah.
And I want the show to grow, you know, and our listeners can help us do that. It's like there's no point in going out there and trying to get 100,000 listeners. There's no point in, putting ads out and stuff like that. Instead, let's just... talk to the people that are already listening.
Exactly. The show has always been about the listeners.
Right.
We're not doing this... we do this for our enjoyment, but we're also doing it to kind of relate with other people that are in our same mindset that
right.
kind of get it, that listen to it and go, hey, yeah, I remember that, and want to interact.
And we may have a small audience, but the small amount of audience we have... you could all make a difference for us.
It's a pretty damn good audience.
And we appreciate you, and I want to thank you guys for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. So, Bill, we should close this mother out.
Yes.
What do you say?
Woo-hoo! Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's my new office chair. It's got hydraulics in it.
Oh, I need one of those. Is that one of those Herman Miller chairs?
Oh, yeah. Posturpedic. I don't even know what that means. Memory foam.
Nice. So your ass, like, it warms your ass.
Exactly.
You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of mobility.
Hasn't got his wits about him.
Now this is podcasting.